1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 11 and 12. The most spiritual person here tonight is Connie. She came up to me and said, "I got a nap this afternoon." Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do on Sunday afternoon is take a nap. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples." What things? All the things that happened in the Old Testament. Paul is talking about that earlier in this verse. So he says, all that stuff that happened in the Old Testament are in samples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. God gives a warning to all those people who are doing well in their spiritual lives. They are growing. They are maturing. Church is important to them. The family is important to them. Their work ethic is important to them. And God said this because when we look at the Old Testament, he said, take heed or be careful. Have you ever noticed how many Bible characters were known for a certain trait, and it was that area that caused them to fall? We're going to go in the Old Testament tonight, and we're going to look at four or five individuals that were known for a certain trait, and it was in that very thing that they fell. So let's take a Bible journey this evening. First of all, Abraham, but we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. That talks about Abraham, first of all. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 through 10. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Try to sell that to your wife when you say, "Honey, we're packing up and we're moving." And she says, "Great, where are we going?" "I don't know." But that's what God told Abraham. He said, "I want you to go to a certain place." He had no idea where he was going, but he obeyed and he went. "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age." Well, that's the understatement. She was 90. Boy, a thought just hit me and I'm going, oh. "Because she judged him faithful who had promised." Paul speaks of Abraham's great faith in Romans chapter 4. When you read that chapter, it's just all about Abraham and the great faith that he had. 86 times in the New Testament, God speaks of Abraham's faith. In spite of that, 2 times Abraham sinned because of lack of faith. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 first. Genesis chapter 12 first. And we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Genesis chapter 12, verse 14. "And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. Talking about Sarah, of course. She was a pretty lady. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her. And I'm not going to give you a West Texas translation of that. And commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and boy donkeys and men servants and maid servants and girl donkeys and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me?" You're looking at the father of faith being called on the carpet before an absolute miscreant of a man called Pharaoh. And what a shame. What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, "She's my sister"? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. The great man of faith, Abraham, that obeyed Abraham, and in a couple of chapters, going to go up to Mount Moriah. But he lies to Pharaoh and said, yeah, she's my sister. And shame on you, Abraham. You should not have done that. Fear is a result of unbelief. Fear is a lack of faith. Fear is not taking God at his word, and that's simply what faith is all about, just taking God at his word. But he didn't do that. Well, unfortunately, there's another time. Go with me to Genesis chapter 20. Let's read the first four verses. Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, here it is again, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. I'm going to get you, Abimelech, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Isn't it a shame when a man of God is found to be less than he should have been on the inside with his integrity? And that's Abraham twice in his life. Same thing. The only accusation against the character of Abraham had to do with him not trusting God and telling the truth and trusting God to protect him. His strength became his weakness. And that's what we're talking about this evening. When your strength becomes your weakness, God said, take heed and be careful. Next man is Moses. Bless his heart. Known as the meekest of men. Go with me to the book of Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And look at verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was the most meek man on the face of the earth. Meekness there simply means strength under control. You have a great deal of strength, but it's always under control. But in his anger, that is Moses, again, twice he sinned. First of all, he killed an Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He was angry because an Egyptian was hurting an Israeli. And he got mad about it and he kills a person. Okay? Another time, he smote the rock twice from which the water flowed to provide refreshment in the wilderness. Abraham was afraid and Moses was angry. But Moses, the meekest man on the earth, both of these things led to sin in Abraham and Moses' life. Moses, again, was the meekest man who ever lived, but his strength became his weakness. And you're saying, well, you know, you can just get to that breaking point. No, you can't. You can't give an excuse. It was just too much. Trust God, okay? Oh, boy, and of course, this one is a tough one, too. What about David? In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. That which stood out about David was his purity of heart, his purity of motive, his purity of life. He was such a good man. When David sat on the hillside and played his harp and sang psalms back to God, his character was strong. His desire was to live right and to please God. His strength was his purity of heart. But he fell through an impure heart. Oh my. 2 Samuel chapter 11, please. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, and it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. The beginning of that verse talks about when kings go forth to battle. Let me just say this. No one can do your job. That was David's job, to lead Israel into battle. But he began to indulge himself. When you begin to indulge yourself, there's two steps down. The first step is this. Man, I could really get used to this. Man, that's good. I can really get used to this. Everybody else is fighting the battle, and I'm sitting around the house. Whatever you sit around the house and do. Okay? I could really get used to this. And then the second thought always follows that, and it is this. not only could I really get used to this, I deserve this. And when you get to that place, you're a long ways from where God wants you. He wasn't seeking to please God anymore, and he fell into scarlet sin, which led not only to lying and cover up, it led to the murder of one of his good friends. Uriah was a good man. He was a good soldier. He was a friend of David and a confidant to David. And David had him killed. His strength, David's strength, became his weakness. Well, this is another an individual who could have enjoyed the banquet blessings of God all his life chose rather to live on the filth of this world. And I'm talking about Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He had a blank check from God and he asked for wisdom, and God cash the check. Solomon started out with a very tender heart. He was wise and he was unselfish, and he listened to men that gave him good counsel and advice. But then he let And it's not the women's fault, but he let the women in his life turn his heart away from God. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Don't ask me, I don't know. 300 mother-in-laws? 700 concubines. What is sad is he became stupid and selfish. The Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." This is just a few of the individuals in the Old Testament, and there are many, many more. You look at this and you say, oh my goodness. But God said they were all written. Everything in the Old Testament was written for our admonition that we might not make the same mistakes, and shame on us if we do. Let's pray. Father, you have been so good to us. And it would be such a horrible thing if we failed to trust you and we committed scarlet sin in our life. Oh, Father, please have your hand upon each one of us. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, a life that is truly filled with faith, where we just trust you in all things. Father, thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside us and speaking to our hearts. Thank you for this church, dear Jesus, that you have established here. And allow us to be a part, and allow us to be cleansed when we come in these doors. And the Word of God cleanses our soul. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together this evening. Dear Father, bless these dear people. Help us all to be more like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in a couple of verses of an invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, we give you an opportunity to step out and come forward.
Have thine own way.
Father, we look forward to Sundays every week. What a wonderful way to begin the week. We thank you for the heritage that we have as Baptists, that we come into your house, and there is a sense of holiness here. And dear Father, I pray that we might continue to have that we might live a life that is truly pleasing to thee. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name.